You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Noon, I've got some slightly complicated, very personal issue I want you to reflect on and you and me to have a conversation about. So let me go all Dr. Phil on you for the next 20 minutes, right? There's a concept that I have grappled with a lot as a philosophy student, as a writer, and in my broadcasting, I take it very seriously. My colleagues will tell you that. Some might even say I take it seriously to a fault. And that is the importance of authenticity. I used to like that word when I was studying philosophy. I don't like it anymore because the word has become mainstreamed, and in the mainstream, the word itself has been commercialized. I prefer now slightly simpler words, the word sincerity, for example. An imperfect translation is honesty. And I had like a WhatsApp conversation, I'm not going to spill the beans, with a very close friend of mine. And we were observing the behavior of someone else who clearly were being deeply insincere about something. And it just triggered in me all sorts of thoughts. I wonder whether it is always very hard to be your true self, because we all wear different masks and take different ones off, put different ones on, depending on the context, at work, in the public space, in the queue at Woolies, even in your own home, when you have guests coming around for a bride for dinner. There's a performative element to being a human being, right? So I get that. And I don't know if you can ever be completely transparent. It's not even obvious to me that you can be completely transparent to yourself, for that matter. So I get all of that. But I still want to ask you this question. Do you think in 2019, in an age of social media and digital trolling in particular, that it is harder than ever to be sincere and to be revelatory? Because the consequences of your honesty, your authenticity, your sincerity, whichever word works for you, the consequences are higher than they've ever been, because people can come down hard on you. Now, I don't want to romanticize sincerity. If you are sincerely homophobic, of course I'm going to troll your homophobia. If you are sincere about your racism, of course I'm going to skewer you. So sincerity is not an end in itself. It's not an achievement to be sincere if you're a horrible human being with a character that really is absolutely disgusting, right? But you get what I mean. It is extremely hard to be truly yourself when you are inviting all sorts of quick judgments about who you are, what you are wrestling with. And I'll take small examples. I mean, Bongani Bingwa this morning, my colleague on 702 Breakfast, was sharing how he has dealt and struggled with his weight over a long period of time. It's extremely hard to be open and honest about your inner struggle when it comes to, for example, how you feel about your body. I hate my body. And I put in 5 hours at the gym. If I wasn't embarrassed in the context of inequality, I'd tell you how much money I spend on personal trainers, boxing trainers, and whatever. And please don't give me diet advice. I've been through it all. But the point is that as soon as you are projecting even an iota of sincerity, authenticity, there's a vulnerability that comes with it. And when I look at Twitter, I look at Instagram, I look at Facebook, I wonder whether now compared to 20, 30 years ago. I mean, I think it's always been very hard to be sincere and live with the consequences of sincerity, authenticity, and honesty. But I have this intuition, and help me out here, that it is particularly now, more than ever before, very hard to be fully authentic, because we live in an era where we come down incredibly quickly, all too quickly sometimes, on one another when we give a glimpse of our inner selves, our demons, and what we are struggling with. And I think it's a pity. I think it's an enormous pity, because things like the mental health crisis that we don't speak about, what fuels it is the performative element of our social lives and the fact that the space for being authentic keeps closing down. Reflect on that for me. How does it play out in your own life? Have you experienced the consequences of attempting to be sincere in your friendships, relationships, at work, with colleagues, even with your lover for that matter? And what have been some of those consequences that you've never before being able to voice. And here's the final thing, and then we'll take a short little break here. Part of my question is challenging because I'm asking you to be authentic right now. And that may be the first time that you will open up about how hard it has been for you to project who you truly are, your demons, your innermost thoughts, because this has always been in your thought bubble. And the thought of picking up the phone and speaking to the DJ may be the hardest thing for you to do in this moment. 011-883-0702. And I think about this particularly whenever I hear one of my favorite ballads by Billy Joel, when he lyrically, in the context of romance, but for me the thought is the one that I want to focus on around this word, when he lyrically tells us that honesty is such a lonely word.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly what I need from you.
I agree with Billy Joel. Honesty is such a lonely word, and very often missing in what we project and in what we get back. And that's because the consequences are enormously hard. I think sometimes we're rewarded for being authentic. I always give young people advice, and I say, and one or two of my mentees will bear me out on this, particularly if you want to enter the space that I'm in as a talk show host. The wonderful thing about a society like South Africa is that sometimes the rewards are also incredibly high. For every troll out there, you will have legions of people appreciative of the authenticity that you project. And if on day one you are deeply inauthentic, then it just becomes harder, because like a lie, you have to remember when you step out into the world to not be your true self. And I mean, my goodness, can you imagine the kind of emotional and cognitive resources required to remember to be insincere? Dorothy, good morning. Welcome. Hello, Dorothy. We'll come back to Dorothy in a second. Nicola, good morning. Thank you for calling in today. And that's not sure what's going on there technically with the line table. Let's see whether we can get them work properly. Dylan, Claire, Michael, Michelle, Dorothy, I'm going to take all of your calls. Take a little bit of a breather. If you've just joined us, we're reflecting on the cost of authenticity. It's a word that's all the rage. I prefer simpler translations, being sincere, being truthful. And I think it's a good thing to have the space to project who you truly are. But we live in an era in which very often the judgment calls come down hard and quick, especially online, when you are authentic. And I'm just wondering aloud, is the space for any kind of authentic living closing down?
Eusebius MacIsa on 702.
Call Eusebius on 011-883-0702.
Nicola, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Eusebius. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just have a comment to make in terms of authenticity, and I think I'm guilty of that. You know, social media is one where I have a timeline review. Nobody can post a natural picture of me up on it because it needs to be filtered and looked at. And my boyfriend the other day said to me, "You don't even look like that." I had bunny ears on and glasses. And I just think that, you know, I played golf with my kids, and my daughter took a photo, and I said, "Send me the photos." And she's like, "No, Mommy, don't put them on Facebook. I look terrible." And I think it's actually quite sad, because I probably look younger than I did at 18 in some of my photos. But I don't even look like that. I really and truthfully don't. And that's why I think we've come to the stage where we are so, that That's my Facebook. These are my settings. This is my review. And if I don't like the review, you are not seeing what Nicola at 47 looks like.
And that's something Nicola, I want to
thank you both for the laughter and for being deeply authentic in this moment. And there's nothing wrong with a gaming element. There's a performative element to being a healthy, well-adjusted social being. But I think there are levels to this thing that border on a kind of national-level psychosis or global-level psychosis in us human beings in this modern age. And part of the reason is that technological advances and platforms like the various social media ones are changing with such rapidity, we don't even have enough time to do what we're doing right now, which is to hit the pause button and to ask questions about our own behavior inside of these technologies.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And I think the other points I'd like to raise is that being authentic and honest with people, sometimes there's a fine line of being honest, or it's a way that you put things across. And I just think that social media can sometimes just be a bit of a...
That's right.
A little bit of a, that's not really who I am. I don't have bunny ears and gloves. And thank you for a lovely show.
Thank you, Nicola. Thank you for engaging, and thank you for being so self-reflective on this particular question. Dorothy, good morning. I think we've got you in a clearer line now. Go right ahead.
Thanks. Hi, Sabius. My view is that you raised an important question, and I've journeyed with this question for a long time, and I, in my own life, I have decided that I have no other option but to show up authentically as often as I can. But I didn't just wake up like that. I had years of therapy, years of coaching, and so I'm at a place where I can accept my imperfections.
Yeah.
And I've also had to do lots of work on taking back the power, I think, as I was giving other people, that if they know about my depression, if they know about my anxiety, if they know that I have to take my meds morning and nighttime to show up as productive, that they will write me off.
Yes.
So how I live in the world now is that, what can you do to me if you know all these things you may perceive as weak, as bad, as whatever? And what is interesting is what I see in my classrooms, because I work with managers and leaders who come to our business school. And this is a frightening, frightening prospect for them.
Absolutely.
I can tell you that they would rather have a root canal every day than tell people who they are or show people who they are. So they show up at
work. It's a deep shame, isn't it? Because it will eventually lead, and I say this with, you know, I mean, I don't say this lightly, and you speak to any GP around here in Sandton, in the suburbs, you go and speak to the doctors of your clients that you have in your classroom, the management and the leadership you're talking about.
Yeah.
You will find that many of them have drugs overprescribed to try and keep their emotions intact. And ultimately, it's because the body is exhibiting the symptoms of that kind of emotional anxiety.
Absolutely, and it shows
up.
You say this. It shows up, and it shows up in their relationships with their colleagues. It shows up in how they deal with other people's failings. They can't deal with it, and for me, it is such a contradiction that we know. I know I'm not perfect, right?
Mm.
But I'm going to freak out when you are not perfect, and then I'm going to want to be perfect,
100%.
And I'm only going to want to show you my good side. And it takes a lot of energy. And yet, you say this, my last point, is that when I declare that I live with anxiety and depression, they think I'm amazing. They think, oh my gosh.
Well, this is it though, Dorothy. I mean, this is what I was saying around the conundrum, right? Is that we also, I don't know about the rest of the world, but certainly in South Africa, we are such a weird bunch, because we can prey on the declared imperfections of Dorothy, but we're equally capable, depending on what we had for breakfast, of giving you a round of applause and rewarding you and deepening our respect for you precisely because of your sincerity or your authenticity. But that in itself creates a sort of second-order anxiety, because then the question becomes, if I were to be my most authentic self from this afternoon. Will I be one of the lucky ones that get respect and a round of digital applause? Or will I be someone who will be reminded of their quote-unquote confessions 3-6 months from now from some complete scumbag that have stored that to use it on a rainy day?
Yeah. And the only way we can take away power from that scumbag is to really get to an authentic place where you don't care.
Absolutely. Very well put. Thank you, Dorothy. Michelle, good morning. Welcome to this conversation.
Thank you. And Dorothy actually summed up the nutshell that I wanted to share and the Billy Joel song as well. In order to be truly authentic, you've actually not got to give a damn what other people think. It's when you try and be a people pleaser, or I want them to like me, so I must say what they want to hear, or project an image that they'll feel comfortable with. That's when you fall down. And you've actually not got to give a damn. You've got to actually say, I'll be me, but even if it means being by myself. But yeah, it's sometimes a choice you've got to make. But I just wanted to say to you, Eusebius, that most of the time you irritate me terribly and you drive me around the bend. But the show that you did with the abused kids in the boxing gym, where you actually came out and you just shared with the kids what had happened to you, I actually thought, oh my God, I really like him.
Thank you. That's very kind, Michelle. For someone who doesn't have a license and who doesn't drive, I can't believe I drive you around the bend.
Yeah, right. No, often you do, Eusebius.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you for your reflections. I appreciate them. Dylan, good morning. Welcome to this conversation.
Hi, Eusebius. Thank you for bringing me into the conversation. You know Grayson Pharmacy, where we met?
Yes.
Sorry, I had a punch it now. you once said, I'm your favorite what?
Say again?
You once said, I'm your favorite Zionist.
Yes, I remember. I remember our conversation.
Yes.
And at the pharmacy, where everybody knows your name.
Yes, our Grayson Pharmacy. Anyhow. Eusebius, in reality, I find that people, when it comes to social media, act completely differently than they act in the real world. I just want to go back to a few phone calls ago, maybe like an hour ago, where there was a lady on your show who said she won't vote DA, but she doesn't know who she's voting for. She changes her decision every single day.
Yeah, Sarashnit was,
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of understand that type of thinking, and that's honesty. But when it comes to social media, I do not believe people can be completely honest without being harassed and ostracized and taken down to the ground. That's why you'll see my Facebook profile is locked down. I do very few tweets. I only tweet to the city of Joburg when there's no power, and I, excuse my language, bitch and moan at them. Why is there no power? You guys suck, this, that, etc. LinkedIn I use, that's the main thing I use in social media. But we're looking at sincerity here, and sincerity and truthfulness. Very few people are consistent with that, because as you mentioned about the masks we wear, so right now I'm wearing this mask, but tonight I might be having a braai, and I might want to show off my beautiful cottage with half a bedroom and half a bathroom with a braai and a garden and make it look beautiful, whatever it might be, or my two-bedroom flat or my beautiful mansion in Sandhurst. We are all on show. And when we are on show, are we sincere, truly, or not? And that's what we've got to think about. And that's I also did philosophy, as you know. So where's the line between sincerity and essentially showing off?
Well, I mean, that's going to take us into a longer conversation. We've got to close, right? But particularly in French philosophy, the concept of authenticity has got a very rich tradition. And there's a version of it that in ethics can be articulated quite simply. You don't need to be a philosophy graduate to get its core. And then what we've seen, because we live in a capitalist world, is that even concepts like sincerity or authenticity have been commercialized and bastardized. And so I'm very careful when I use it. It used to be one of my favorite words and concepts, but now I don't use it unless I have the space to explain what I mean by it. 20 seconds, your final thought, Dylan?
My final thought is I believe that most people are not being truly sincere because on an everyday basis, people are trying to wear different masks to show different people who they are so they can play into those people and say, I'm this person, this is why you should like me. The other person, I'm this person, so you should like me.
Well, I think that Billy Joel will have the last word. And he, of course, said, honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue.